Our scripture today, coming from Matthew 5, is what we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. They're the beginning of what's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of Jesus' teachings near the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7. The lectionary draws from them all this month, and I've decided to take up the challenge. I'm going to preach on the Sermon on the Mount this month, do a series. So I would really encourage you, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, not just once, but multiple times over the next 3 weeks, and see how that, reflecting on that, may speak to you. We read these Beatitudes during the Wisdom Mini Retreat we did last November, and we read them Lectio Divina style. So I want to do that this morning. This is a way of reading we also do when we have evening prayers during Advent and Lent. I'm going to read it. We're going to be silent a moment. And then I'm going to read it again. And when I read them again, I want you to especially to listen and see if there's any word or phrase that particularly stands out to you, that catches you, that lands in maybe in your body or in your mind in a certain way. So let's read together. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And again, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thanks be to God. And maybe another version, quite different, from Steve Garnas Holmes. Blessed are you who are empty-handed. You are God's hands. Blessed are you who are broken-hearted. Your broken heart is God's heart. Blessed are you who are powerless. Love's power will never fail you. Blessed are you who wish you were closer to God. Your wishing is God in you. Blessed are you who are kind. The universe will be kind to your soul. Blessed are you who seek oneness. You are one. Blessed are you who stand with the poor. That is where God always stands. Blessed are you who are wounded when you stand for justice. You are embraced. You are enfolded. You stand among the great. I want to offer a few possibilities as you reflect more on this text, beginning with the kingdom of heaven. It struck me this time that the beginning and the end, the poor in spirit and those who are persecuted, to both the blessing is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus' term for the inbreaking of God, his primary phrase or image for what he was about bringing people into, in a less masculine term, the kingdom, the realm, the reign of God. Not as some future possibility, but as a present, here and now reality. Writer Jim Marion suggests that the kingdom of God, was Jesus' metaphor for a state of consciousness, not a place you go to, but the place you come from. A new way of looking at the world, a transformed awareness. I think this fits with what I read in Kenneth Bailey's book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, where he says the word used here for blessed or blessed is about a state of being, a present truth about who we are. It's not conditional. Not a quid pro quo, to use that now infamous phrase. It's not Jesus saying, if you do certain things, then maybe you'll earn your way into God's blessing. This is Jesus saying what is. It turns out that in Greek and Hebrew, there are different words, two different words that we translate blessed, one word. There's a different word for that conditional idea, the idea of a future blessing. This word for blessing is describing a current, present state of being, a here and now truth about all of us who are part of his realm, part of his community, part of his way of being. Cynthia Bourgeau and her writing in The Wisdom of Jesus has a great section on the Beatitudes, and I'm drawing from that. And if you have it or you want to have it, you might look there. I think we need to get a copy for our library. To describe what poor in spirit means, she tells a Zen story. Poor in spirit. A young seeker desiring to become a student of a great master was given an opportunity to interview with the master. So, of course, the student was anxious and excited and full of hope. And so he went and sat down with the master and began talking and talking and talking about all his ideas and all the teaching he's had and all the things And after a few moments of listening, the master started pouring them tea. And the student kept talking, so the master just kept pouring and pouring. And the teacup overflowed, and the master kept pouring, and the student kept talking. And finally, the student realized, and went, stop, the cup's overflowing. And the teacher said, "Yes, and so are you. How can I possibly teach you anything?" Being poor in spirit is about knowing we're empty, about living empty-handed. It's only in our emptiness, only as we're open and receptive, that we have room for God. I think of Madeline Lingle's beautiful poem about Advent, where she says, "This is the irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. If Mary had been too full of reason, there would have been no room for the child." In our openness, our emptiness, there is room for God. But then he goes on, "Blessed are those who mourn." This, I think, is about vulnerability. It's about open-heartedness and compassion. Ken Wilber has written, "We must practice the wound of love. Real love hurts. Real love makes you totally vulnerable and open. Real love will take you far beyond yourself, and therefore real love will always devastate you." We all know the truth of this, don't we? And we get so tempted to put up the walls to try to protect ourselves. But real love is always about vulnerability, openness. It brings deep, unspeakable, delightful joy, but it also brings grief and mourning. You can't have one without the other. Tears and grief are the price of love. I heard on NPR this week an interview about the Holocaust, which included a quote from someone who was in the camp with Anne Frank, saying that Anne never lost her capacity for tears. In spite of her pain, in spite of the brutality, the person said, Anne stayed open. She stayed open to mourn and open to love. Blessed are the meek. I don't know about you, but for me at least, this can sound like being passive and timid, a doormat. And it does refer to being humble, even poor. But the meaning points to being surrendered to God, open to God, seeking God's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It also apparently has something to do in the Greek word about being balanced in our relationships with others. The Greek word used for meek, according to Aristotle, means living as a person who knows how to be angry on the right grounds against the right person in the right manner at the right moment for the right length of time. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? It's about living an ethical middle way, knowing when to accept, when to submit, and when to assert. Those of us who do this, Jesus says, shall inherit the earth. The powerful, the bullies, the greedy, the bombastic, they will not, for all that it may appear that they do. In the end, they are consumed by their desires and their passions. So Cynthia Bourgeau suggests that blessed are the meek, maybe better translated, blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the gentled, the tamed. Gospel of Thomas puts it this way. Jesus said, "Fortunate is the lion eaten by a human, for the lion then becomes human. Unfortunate is the human eaten by a lion, for the human then becomes the lion." There's more here, much more in these Beatitudes. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Not, again, the words as they're translated mess us up. Not righteousness in some rigid, puritanical, moralistic kind of way. Righteousness in the Old Testament refers to the vibration of God's presence, the power of God. And so it's about hungering and thirsting to be one, to be connected to God's Spirit, yearning for God's presence, the energy, the aliveness of God. As in those parables Jesus told, the man who sold everything he had to buy the field because there was a treasure, the merchant who sold everything for that one pearl of great price, hungering and thirsting for God. And blessed are the merciful. Mercy, flowing like an exchange. Mercy received is mercy given. We're called, invited. We're blessed as we live in the flow of mercy and love. And the pure in heart. And again, this is nothing puritanical. This is not about chastity or celibacy. It's about singleness, focus, single-hearted intention. Those whose heart is not divided, whose heart are a unified whole. That's what this is talking about. But we live so much of our lives divided, distracted, caught between conflicted loyalties, juggling priorities. The pure in heart, the undivided, know what is first, what is most important. And they see God. And so it seems that all of this, as we live into it, as we are blessed by it, makes us peacemakers, makes us shalom creators in ourselves, in our little sphere, and in our world. All of us children of God, caught up in God's work of bringing peace and goodness, mercy and healing to all God's children. And then Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are we when this way of living gets us in trouble. When we are living so fully into God's realm that we ruffle feathers and we shake up people and we challenge the status quo. Rejoice and be glad. It's a confirmation we're doing something right. Blessed are we. Again, it's not something we have to strive for and hope we'll get there someday. It's living into the reality that Jesus opens for us now. It's a teaching that calls us to know Jesus, to follow Jesus with empty hands and open hearts, living in the flow of mercy, hungering and thirsting for God's energy, single-minded, undivided, living into God's peace, God's shalom, with all our brothers and sisters, with all creatures, with the earth itself, no matter the cost. I close with a prayer, also by Steve Garnes Holmes. God, may I be an empty vessel for you. Bless my willingness to have nothing to offer except your presence in me and my trust in your grace in this world. Bless my willingness to mourn my losses, to weep with those who suffer, to lament the brokenness of the world. I trust and await your consolation. Give me the courage to be powerless, to be inadequate, to be weak, to depend on you, and to trust that in my emptiness, your grace is infinite and miraculous. Give me faith to work for justice, to be a peacemaker amidst hate and anger, to bear your spirit into fearful places, for I am your child, your beloved. Trusting that the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours and not mine, I yield everything to you. Surrendering all, seeking the lowest place, I will be an empty vessel for your grace. I am willing to die and to be raised. Amen.